Well, good morning, and what a blessing to see each of you here this morning, and especially on this Sunday, as typically people don't get out to church on time, so the change in time, and it's been cold a couple days, so I hope your hearts aren't cold. I don't want the weather to do that. 1 John again in your Bible, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 1, and before I begin, though, I'd like to thank you, because I know that you do pray for me, and I pray for you as well. And so last week, I'd had my various tests, and they figured out that there was an area of my heart that wasn't getting enough blood. ever since I had the heart attack, got stents, but didn't fix something. So I've had pain all along, and nobody ever believes you. The cardiologist said, oh, it's not your heart. And the nurse for rehab said, oh, I feel better now that you told me about your pain, because that's not your heart. Then, of course, it was my heart. And so the cardiologist seemed annoyed, I think, that he was wrong. And I went to see him this past week. So he sent me back to the original doctor that put the stents in. So probably put a bunch more in. But anyway, whatever. As long as I can get blood pumped around, that'd be handy. And took me off of another pill. So of the five pills that they always put you on, I think I'm down to two now. Just cholesterol and the one that makes your blood not stick to all the stents and plug up. So, and the ASA, but I don't really consider that much of a drug. It's just a small dose. So we're going to wait now for another appointment to see when we can get in to see him. And that's what my life has been lately, wait for appointments. But thank you for praying for me. And they took me off the drug because I went to hospital again this past week. Was it this past week, hon? Okay. And because I had chest pain, so I'm supposed to take the nitro spray. And once you get the second spray, you got to go to the hospital. So anyway, went there, but they you know, I'm laying there waiting between the blood tests. There's 2 hours, and so I'm waiting, and the monitor keeps going off. So I look at it every now and then when it goes off, and it's beeping, carrying on, and you know, nobody comes in or nothing. It's not a big deal, obviously. So I'm more or less trying to sleep, but it's too noisy to sleep. But I'm relaxing. So at one point, the nurse comes rushing in. She's like, "Oh, your heart rate has just dropped." And I'm like, well, I must have done that 4 or 5 times at least while I was there. You noticed once. So your heart rate apparently is never supposed to go below 50. I'm sure I saw it one time at 37. And she said, blood pressure can drop if your heart rate is going that slow. And you can go unconscious. Well, it's been doing that since the time before I went in the hospital. The stuck-up nurse just ignored it, didn't even record that my heart rate dropped. She mentioned it as well, but at least this time they noticed that. So they took me off the pill that poisons your system to slow your heart down. So once I got off of that, I felt a little better, because my heart rate's back up to about 62 now, or 61, or kind of more normal. It was running in the hospital. It was done by 40, 41, and then it would come up to 50, and then it would go back down to 40. So they took me off that pill as well. So if I can get off enough of the pills, maybe I will live after all. But anyway, thank you for your prayers. Verse 5, this then... Oh, yeah, that's already started. Oh. Yeah, that's... Well, now that I'm going back to the beginning to get more stents, they're like, well, I guess there's no point in trying to progress with that right now. So I'll be going to that again later. All right, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is perfect and holy. No sin, nothing of anything like that is in him. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that we have a common interest with him, that we're like him, that that we're close to him, we love what he loves, sort of thing. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We walk in darkness, we're living in some sorts of sins. We have living in some sorts of sins in our life. Excuse me. Then that's a lie. Our life is a lie. Your walk is your life. Your walk is everything that happens in a day. That's part of your walk. It's the things that are habitually in your life. And if sins are habitually in your life, then how can you say that you are walking with God and close to him? And that's his point. But verse 7, but if we walk in the light, so if we are careful with sins to try to keep sins out of our life, and he'll explain what that means in a minute, as he is in the light. So we try to walk where he is. Where is God versus where we are? Well, so much more holy and separated from the world, but we try to walk where he is. If we're trying to walk where he is and be like him, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Well, that's a wonderful verse. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, that we're perfect, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's not the truth. Verse 9, favorite verse of all of ours, if we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. The things written here were written for us today. Help us to take something out of it and learn something that will be a blessing and a help to us. And we pray, Father, that we might draw near to you in this time, and you might make it a blessing to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are two different things. And verse 7, after this morning, hopefully will be as dear to you as verse 9 is. They're two different things that's being talked about here. In verse 7, and if you're in the habit of writing something down, you might want to write this down or mark it in your Bible. And I may, I've got it written in mine, obviously. The word cleanseth in verse 7 means to make clean, but it has to do with present and continuous cleansing. You've got to get that. It means present and continuous cleansing. It doesn't mean one-time cleansing. It means all-the-time cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us now and continues to do so from all sin. What is the difference between verse 7 and verse 9? Well, verse 7 is talking about your walk. It's talking about your lifestyle, the things that are incorporated into your life. And among all that are saved, there's an understanding that we don't want to have sins in our life. We try to deal with sins, and we try to do the right thing. And these are sins that happen, let me say, that perhaps we're not even aware of. Are there sins that happen that we're not aware of? There are so many sins that happen that we're not aware of. So, but then that's being washed. This verse 7 is about the washing of his blood that is continuous in our life. But verse 9 is about taking a bath. Verse 9 is about we've sinned on purpose. We know we've sinned. We chose sin. We chose something that's wrong. That's verse 9. And we feel the guilt of it, and we feel the perhaps even the discouragement that comes with having failed our Lord and failed in our walk with God. And we all have that, because verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And we'll look at that, if there's time, a little bit later. So verse 7 is the washing. Verse 10 is the bath. Now, you'll notice after each verse is a verse that says, you know, well, if you don't think you need this, if you don't think you have any sin, if you think you're perfect, if we say that we have no sin, that's what it means, that we're perfect, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, that we're not living the truth. We're living, that's a lie. We've deceived ourselves. And so, and verse 10, very similar. So we say that we have not sinned. We make, we're calling God a liar. So these verses are backed up with this, you know, everybody needed this. Nobody could be left out of it. Everybody needs this. And so verse 7 is our walk. So if we're walking, now think with me. What is there that defiles our lives during the course of a day? What is there that defiles our lives? I can think of several things. For example, what about the TV? We all have to be careful about the things we watch, but even if you are careful about the things you watch, there'll be things on there, there'll be things in ads or whatever. You know, how many times you have to turn something off, you thought you're watching something decent, and all of a sudden, yeah, it's not. And, you know, how many things are like that? And so I think of television is a great thing that pollutes our lives. The pollution of the world can get into us, but from that. And so we have to be careful with that. So if you could imagine the platform this morning, this is my life or yours, and things are entering into our life and our walk with God. And one of them, for example, could be television. If you ever watch television, you know, even if you just watch the news, sometimes there's things on the news that'll pollute your life. And so, well, these are these kind of sins. They're, you know, you just were there and things come on the screen or people say things. And it all has an influence, a negative influence on you. If you listen to the radio, if you listen to a lot of music, and you're not careful that your music is good music. By the way, I want to say this. Always pay attention to the music the pastor puts on the screen. Always pay attention to the groups that he's choosing. And a couple times he's chosen someone that I've never heard of before. I'm not sure if he's just has listened to that song. He knows the groups as well, but I would say, in a general way, if the pastor is putting a group here to sing during the offering or whatever, then you should take note of that. If you're not familiar with Christian music, if you're not familiar with it, then take note of the various groups and take an interest in those kind of groups, because that is good music. And obviously, you know, if you listen to the world's music, even further, if you're listening still to rock music, although you know there's pop and country and it's all got the world's philosophies and the world's immorality and or lack of morality, whatever you say, it's all got that. But you know, rock music, I believe, is really a lot of evil comes from that, but from all of it. The world's music is the world in song. That's all it is. And so will that pollute you? Will that pollute our lives? Will that influence our hearts? Will you hear things that will make you think the wrong things about God, even to doubt God or to have the wrong thoughts about anything? Those are two things. What else might we have in our lives that are influencing our walk, that are bringing sins into our life, that the blood of the Lord Jesus is continually cleansing? Continually, those kind of sins, the blood has such power. And the blood of the Lord Jesus is continually cleansing us from sin all times. And from those kind of sins, which aren't really sins that we have chosen but have been exposed to, I believe those are more the kind of sins that they're always cleansing. You know, if you're in a 1 John 1:9 kind of sin and you need a bath, you know that because you feel the defilement or you feel the guilt, and you know that this is in the way between you and God. And so that's a sin that we need to confess. But there are so many sins that come through our lives. You know, I think probably in the course, there are hundreds in a day of sins that we've come into contact to, that you've been exposed to, or that, you know, a thought comes through your head. You know, you don't keep it there, but it still rushes through. And the defiling nature of this world is so bad that we just need the Lord, and we need the blood. We need the blood that cleanses us at all times. It just keeps cleansing us. It just keeps, its effect is so powerful that this blood is going to cleanses us for now and forever, and it's still keeping us clean. And so, you know, you're not a bad person because you come into contact with sin. If you were to be honest, all of us do. And all of us come in contact with sin and sinful thoughts and sinful things. But 1 John 1:9, or 1:7 rather, is this, if we walk in light. But I've left out something here on purpose. What else defiles our life on a regular basis? What else? Help me. All right. Well, things on the computer. I would say that would be a lesser stream. It's like the inch and a half drain out of your sink, kitchen sink, maybe. But it depends what you do with a computer. I mean, we're never on our computer unless I have to do something with an email. I have one email that only goes to the computer. It doesn't go to my phone, so I sometimes have to go on that. Or yesterday I finished my taxes, and so I was on there for that, but I don't remember getting anything defiling then. But some people's use of the computer can be, you know, it depends what you're doing. What about Facebook? Should we ask about that? Could there be defiling things on there? Well, in a positive, negative way, I call it fake book because, and I don't have it myself, but Marlene has it. Because, you know, so I hear some things that are going on there, and I have it actually on my phone as well, but it's her account, not mine. So I can be on there if I wanted to be, but I'm usually not. But so people, you know, project their lives as being perfect. Well, no one's life is like that. Sorry. It's fake. People go on there and they just lie. They just lie about their lives, about how great their life is. They never have a struggle, and they're always up, and everything's wonderful. But no child of God's life is even like that. Our lives are full of various struggles all the time. And so there's that. But there's another thing that I have deliberately left out, and that's Jeremiah 17, 9, and 10. Oh, I like it, so I'm just going to look there. And plus, I wrote notes there, so I'm going to look there. Jeremiah 17. Where the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Just stop there. The heart is deceitful. The word deceitful means sly, slippery, crooked. Lying. The heart lies. You say, what is the worst lying thing or person you know? Well, you think of somebody. Nope, think of your own heart. Your own heart is the most lying thing you have ever had to deal with. Oh, and people in the world say, oh, just follow your heart. Well, if you do, you're going to be in a lot of sins because that's what's in our heart. It's a lying thing. It's deceitful, the Bible says, above all things, the heart. That's the way it is. Then it says, and desperately wicked. The word desperately wicked means an incurable wickedness. Incurable evil is in our hearts. because of the sinful nature. And then the question, who can know it? Who really knows what's in your heart? Everybody, you know, you think you know what's in your heart? Well, the answer is, I, the Lord, search the heart. The word heart there means the inner man. God says, I'm searching the inner man. I try the reins. Now, reins is an old English word that means your mind, the thoughts of your mind. God says, I'm trying the inner man, and I'm looking at the thoughts of the heart to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And where does, you know, we could look in James and say, you know, where's sin come from? It comes from the heart. It's coming from us. And so if these other things are, you know, a small pipeline into my life of pollution and garbage and filth, then if television is a 2-inch line and the computer's an inch and a half, then there's the heart. That's the big 4-foot culvert of wickedness pouring into our life. You know, Jesus, dealing with the Pharisees in his own day, said, it's not that we eat, it's not, you know, they were offended because the disciples didn't wash before they ate. And then he said, that's not what defiles a man, to eat with unwashed hands. He said, I'll tell you what defiles a man. It's from the heart, because from the heart proceeds things like adulteries and fornication, thefts and murders, and those things proceed from the heart, Jesus said, and they're the things that defile a man. What's he saying? He's saying, it's this. The heart in my walk with God and your walk with God is still the most polluting thing you will ever come into contact with. And what can you do about it? You're like, I feel so bad because I'm trying to live for the Lord, but I have this thought or that thought, and it's troubling. Yes, it should trouble us. All of it should trouble us, but be careful that you don't let it discourage you in serving the Lord. You say, why would you say that? Because that's what verse 7 is all about. It's all about the blood of the Lord Jesus is continually cleansing us so that we can have fellowship one with another. Now, I was reading a commentary, and they said, oh, that's not fellowship with God that's being talked about here. That's fellowship with other people. It is not. If you look at the context and the previous verses, it's all about our walk with God, our relationship with God. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, here's the wonderful thing. You know, two very wonderful things. From Jeremiah 17:9, God tries my heart, and he knows that it is an incurable, wicked thing, but he still loves me anyway. And he still came and sent his son to die for me. You don't even know yourself, but God knows all the evil that's in you, and he still loves you and sent the Savior to save you. Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But here in 1 John, let's go a step further in verse 7. Because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And that is not talking about the fellowship between Christians. It is talking about you being close to God. And watch this. God being interested and close to you. That's right. God is interested in a fellowship with us. God is interested in he's interested in that time when you pray. And you actually talk to him with your, you know, your inner being and the problems that you have. And God loves us, has done so much to save us. He wants to have fellowship with you. You should, we should want to have fellowship with him and be close to him. And this is the walk of the Christian life. But our lives are accompanied with so much evil. He's the light, and in him there's no darkness at all. How in the world can he ever be close to me or you? How? Because the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. That's how. Because we are continually being cleansed. We're continually being filthy, but we're continually being washed clean too. And not only that, you'll notice in this verse as well, the statement cleanses us from all sin. That's how you can be close to God, because in his sight, you can be cleansed from all sin continually all the time. And even though, I don't know, I'm sure I'm more wicked than the rest of you, but there are times when I'm praying even, and I'll have some evil thought go through my head, or the devil sometimes has a, there'll be a doubt comes through. Ooh, I'm so angry that that came through my mind while I was talking to the Lord or thinking about a particular verse. And it would be like almost like Satan says, no, that's not true. But anyway, how can we who are so wicked be close to God? There it is. His blood is continually cleansing us from all sin. You know, you look at your life sometimes, you think, well, you know, you see people around you, you work with, they're not saved, and like, you know, they can put on a pretty good act. The act is sometimes around me anyway, as though they're just as good as I am. And, they're not, because the blood of the Lord Jesus is upon me because I'm saved and I know that I am, and there it is on you. And so, yes, sometimes I feel discouraged because it seems like, oh, there's a lot of volume of evil coming through my life. But then I look in the scriptures and this is where my fellowship with God is based on, the fact that I'm continually being cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, so that I can stand in his presence at any time. And the only thing that really would interfere with me in my walk with God is deliberate sins that fall under 1 John 1:9, where you need to confess those. You couldn't possibly confess all the sins that come through your life in a day. You couldn't. And God doesn't expect you to, because that's what the blood of Jesus is for, to cleanse us from all sin. And so if you say, verse 8, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you really think that, then you've just lied to yourself. I like that, because you've lied to yourself, but you haven't lied to anybody else. Everybody else knows you're not perfect. And then there's these Christians that I think as it was John Wesley had this, was off in his doctrine. And he taught some doctrine of total sanctification, which is the lie, where you can be so sanctified by the Lord that you never sin anymore. Right. Tell that to somebody who doesn't know you. You know, and then they make all kinds of excuses, because I know some people like that. And they make all kinds of excuses about, they don't call it sin anymore in their life now. They call it all other names, but it's stupid. If we say that we have no sin, if you say you're perfect, you've deceived yourself, the truth is not in you. I don't know what they do with this verse. That'd be a bit of a problem. If you say that you have no sin. And, in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, I'll tell you just the opposite. There's a lot of sin, but that's a fact. And until you're dead, because the Bible indicates that the sin nature is in the body. Once the body is dead, the sin nature is dead too. It's not following you into heaven. As soon as As soon as we step through death's door, that'll be the end of all that wicked heart of ours and all it does. That'll be wonderful. And then verse 9, if we confess our sins. And so the word confess, if you don't have it written down, you need to write it down. It means to say the same thing. In other words, I've got to say the same thing about my sin that God says. And so I can't confess my sins if I say, Lord, I may have done something wrong. You know, I made a mistake. You know, you have to get on God's side. And God's side is that sin is wicked and evil and you know, and we need to be like that. We need to treat it as the rottenness that it is. And admit the guilt. Freely admit the guilt of our sins. So if we're willing to do that, then there's a statement. He is faithful. He's faithful. The word faithful means to be trustworthy. It means that God can be depended on. He's faithful. So at any time, if you have a sin to confess, you don't never feel like, oh, I can't go to God. You know, it's too bad that many Christians seem to, you know, young Christians, and they're saved not very long, and they're struggling along. They go back into some of the old sins that they were doing in the world, and you know, and they just feel like they should not come to church now and just give up. And of course, that's what 1 John 1:9 is for. I mean, did God know you were going to sin? Yes. All you have to do is confess it. If you feel bad about it, it shouldn't be hard to call it wicked and evil. But he's faithful. But why can you always confess your sins? Because God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful. You can count on him. At any time, you can confess your sins and God will forgive them. He's faithful and just. Now, just has the idea of God keeping his word, doing what is right. He's promised to forgive our sins. And so, if you come and ask him to, that's exactly what he will. So if something's bothering you, or you feel like something's between you and God, don't deny it and don't try to live around it and put up with it. Confess that sin and you know, don't feel that you can't go to him, because you're encouraged to go to him, because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if here's the thing. When you get done confessing a sin that has really troubled your heart or made you feel guilty, the guilt might not, I mean, you've confessed it and asked him to forgive it, but you may still feel guilty. You got to push that away. You got to stand on the Bible. If you have confessed your sin and you have asked him to forgive it, then the Bible says he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you still feel dirty, just push that away. And remember, that's the devil. That's not God trying to make you feel guilty for something you confessed. If you feel guilty for something you have confessed to the Lord, it's always the devil. It's not God, because he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And as I always like to say, if you take away all unrighteousness, how much unrighteousness is left? None. And we can be perfect and holy in our standing with God in our lives. And so, you know, the devil wants to defeat us. And one of the things he can do is use false guilt in your life. And you know, guilt is false if it's there after we have confessed. And let me just back the truck up for a little bit and say, I remember things I did to my mother growing up. Now, I was saved when I was 16. And I remember lying to her about some particular thing. I can't tell you how many times that has bothered me. I probably have confessed that sin 4 or 5 times before I realized that, well, that's just the devil bringing that up, because God won't bring it up. He doesn't bring up sins that are confessed. They're gone. And God's faithful and just to forgive us. And so if he did forgive us, then that guilt is false guilt, and you have to deal with that. Now, he says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we have not sinned, we make him a liar. You say, oh, now, where is he going with this? Why is this after this verse about confessing our sins? Well, if you say that you have not sinned, you've never sinned, really? If you say that, you make God a liar, because God in the Bible has repeatedly told us about our depravity and our evil and our guilt. I mean, the whole point of a law is to point out to people the guilt of their sins and the need for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. But you're calling God a liar. Anybody who says, well, I have never done anything wrong. you mean not this second? Because surely it couldn't mean much longer than that. Well, you just did when you made a statement like that. That's a sin right there. And his word is not in us. Now, this is a particular statement. His word is not in us. And as I began to research what other good, godly Bible commentators said about this statement, this is what they said. The word that's not in us is like the word hasn't become to us that we have repented of our sins and been saved. It's really saying we are not saved. If we say we have never sinned, then you're not saved. Because for several reasons, because in order to be saved, what do you have to admit? That you're a sinner and that you need your sins forgiven. If you know, it's like the Lord said to the Pharisees who didn't, they wouldn't go to John's baptism and confess their sins, and then they wouldn't accept him. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners through repentance. If you don't think there's anything wrong with you, you know, Jesus didn't come to call those people, but he came to call sinners. And, many people didn't like the fact that he spent a lot of time with harlots and tax collectors and people who were so despised in society. But then he told the Pharisees, they go into the kingdom of heaven before you. And, I love the Lord. He liked to poke his finger in the eyes of people sometimes. Because that's what was needed. But, to look at this, if we recognize the washing of the Lord, then we can... are we still trying to walk in the light? Because, as the Bible talks about walking in the light and about sin in our lives, it's looking at it from two, James and John, both look at it as what is the point of your life? If the whole goal of your life is to sin, well, then you might want to question whether you're even saved. If the whole goal of your life, you maybe want to look at that a little more careful. Because walking in the light doesn't mean you don't ever sin. It just means that isn't the whole point of your life. Of course, you sin, you still choose to sin. That's why 1 John 1:9 is there. But verse 7 is there to encourage us that all day long, the blood of Jesus is cleansing and taking away the sins. The sins are coming to our life. You know, somebody's swearing their head off. You know, there's always something there. Somebody, to walk by, someone's telling a filthy story. You hear part of it. I mean, you have an ear. You keep walking away. You don't stop and listen. But if you do stop and listen, then there's 1 John 1:9. Then there's the need for the bath. There's need, if we have a sin that needs to be confessed, then by all means do that. But otherwise, walk on. And don't be discouraged, and don't let, false guilt be in your life. If you feel that you need to tell the Lord about something, if you feel that something is, you feel dirty, then, spend some time with him and be clean. If we're going to have fellowship with him, we're going to spend time with him. We are changed by, and I could look this up and deal with this. Well, I got 5 minutes. That's all kind of time in the world. What do I want to be? Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in your Bible, if you would. And there's a whole context here, but I just was talking about people who've been saved, and in the last verse, verse 18. But we all, with open face, not the veil that's talked about, that where people didn't understand the Old Testament, that's what's the veil is being made reference to in earlier verses there. Verse 16 says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When the heart turns to God to be saved, then people understand the Bible like they never understood it before. And the veil is taken away. But he says, but we who are saved with open face, no covering, now you can understand the Bible. There's nothing interfering with that. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's a lot of things here, but let me just look at a couple things. With an open face to face, as it were. Not you ever tried to talk to somebody, a woman that was wearing a veil? You couldn't see her face? That was weird. You know what you're dealing with there. You can't tell what someone see a response or anything. It's hard to talk to someone like that. But we don't talk to the Lord like that. We talk to the Lord face to face since we've been saved. And we behold the glory of the Lord. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, we're changed in the same image. The word behold here has the idea of looking on someone that you love. If you look, you look on someone that you love, I'll be looking at my wife and she'll be like, what? Well, nothing. I'm just looking at you, when we started dating, she used to get after me for staring at her all the time. She didn't like me staring at her. She's like, I think we're spending too much time together. Like, you're staring at me all the time. Well, anyway, I happened to be growing in love with her. But anyway, so if you behold someone, it's like, is there someone you highly esteem in this world? If there's someone that you want to be like, you'll look at that person and you'll emulate. You'll try to be like them. You'll try. And here's what we're doing with the Lord. We're spending time with the Lord, spending time in the Bible. We find things that are not just interesting, but life-changing things. We find wonderful things in the Bible. And things that are about the Lord. And they're like, I want to be like the Lord. And I want to be close to him. I want to be, we esteem him so highly. We love the Lord. We just want to be close to him. And so when you spend time with him, you look closely at him like, that's what beholding is. You just look. You look, try to take it all in. Like some, if you had a hero as a young person growing up, someone that, you really wanted to be like you, the more time you spent with them, the more you become like them. And that's the idea here. We're changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, even as by the Spirit. So you're not changing your life. But as you spend time beholding the Lord Jesus, his face, his likeness, reading the Bible to see the Lord and to be close to him and to make changes in your life. But really, it's the Lord that's doing the changing. And as you behold him, you're changed. And it says from glory to glory. It means from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And so the glory of God is slowly ebbing into your life. And a likeness to the Lord Jesus is slowly becoming over you, and it's by the Spirit, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, even with this, it's not us. It's us putting forth the effort, but the change is brought by the Spirit of God. And as with almost everything in the Bible, you have to cooperate. You have your part; he does his part. But the part we do doesn't do much. But he's doing all the powerful parts and changing our lives. And change from glory to glory, and so a continued succession of glory in your life as you walk with the Lord. And so, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from sin all the time. And whether you may or may not realize it, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you'll be like Him. The more time you spend in the Scriptures, the more time you spend in church and in preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the more you'll be like Him. If you take a sincere interest, if you want to behold the glory of the Lord, then slowly you are changed into that image and become more and more like Him. I love that. And so the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus in 1 John 1:7, or the bath, if you feel dirty, if you feel like something's not right between you and God, or even you and others, you know, you need to start with confessing that sin. And then if it's with others, then confessing it to them as well, but to deal with that sin. So I have no time left, and so I was going to ask if you had any questions, but if you have any questions, you can talk to me after. That'd be fine. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. So exciting to open it, Lord, and to see these truths that are so important in our lives, your forgiveness. What could be more important to a child of God than your forgiveness? Because how many times we have fallen down? The righteous man falleth 7 times, but he riseth again. And we thank you that we can do that because you always forgive our sins. And we look forward to being with you in heaven, Lord, when we won't sin ever again. But until then, help us to deal with it, Lord, and to take use of that precious blood, so very powerful, that we might be close to you and have a friendship, have a fellowship with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.